Your grace, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we have experienced your presence here this morning. Lord, our hearts have already been touched. Lord, concerns have already been lifted. And Father, we thank you, O God, that you still have more for us. And Lord, as we listen to your word, we ask you that you might speak into each heart. Father, I ask for myself that I might speak the very oracles of God. Father, I pray that the words of man would fall by the wayside, and only the words of God would find place in our heart this morning. And that, Lord, through the ministry of your word, Christ would be exalted, and we would be drawn to Christ, and we would be changed, and we would be set free, and we would be edified, and we would again get a fresh glimpse into the heart of our God. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. And amen. So yeah, we're continuing the series, The Inner Conflicts of the Believer. Inner Conflicts of the Believer. The last time we talked about the difference between pride and confidence, self-confidence. And today we want to talk about systemic injustice and feeling overwhelmed. This was not part of the series when I started out. It was never even on the horizon. But based upon what has been happening in our society, in our communities, it has caused me as a believer to have some self-reflection and some inner thoughts. And as I've said in the previous times together, I'm just projecting my thoughts upon you and hoping that something will stick. But if it doesn't, that's fine. But I believe in times like these, we as Christians have to, or should take some time before the Lord to just reflect. These are unusual times, difficult times. And so as we look at this issue all around us, I encourage us to not focus upon the negatives. Lots of people are out there for all manner of reasons. Some are out there just to loot and to, they're criminals, basically, and they don't care why you're out there. They're just trying to use opportunity to break into people's stores and to be arsonists, etc. And that's a form of injustice. And then some are out there because they have, I don't know, nothing else to do, and they want to join the crowd. Some are out there because they understand some issues, or at least they think they do. But I want us to realize that that's happening out there, and we need to ask ourselves, well, how does it affect me? And many of us, as we look at it, we become, at least I do, I become overwhelmed. I feel like there's just so much out there. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can do anything. And I just feel overwhelmed. And this is where this message comes from, just looking at things and trying to figure out, Lord, what on earth do you require of me? So turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. I've been reflecting on this verse throughout this week. It's an interesting verse because, again, we're not just talking about injustice, but we're talking about systemic injustice. It's something that goes way back. You know, the unfortunate thing for the church is if we can't solve it in the church, it's not going to get solved in the world. Trust me. We have the power of God. And history has shown us that sometimes the church has failed. There were times when the KKK was in its heyday where leaders in the church, elders and deacons, would put on their little pillowcase and go to their meetings and come to church in the morning. You know, it's like, how do you do that? So Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8 says, if you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, the writer says, do not be surprised at such things. Don't be surprised. You know why? For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher. In other words, he's saying it is systemic. It's part of the system. It has been a part of the system of humankind from the get-go. And unfortunately, it still is a part of the system. It takes different shapes, different forms. In this country, certain things are illegal, but that doesn't prevent it from being systemic. Because it's people, that's what the writer is saying, people are over other people, and they see things, and they are, forget about that. That's no big deal. In fact, I will support you. I will cover for you. That's systemic injustice. And that's why you feel overwhelmed, because it's like, what's the use? Even if I'm able to do something about this person, it goes all the way up. And so the writer is like, don't be surprised. It's part of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. This is what he says. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and the poor had no comforter. So systemic injustice has the people who have authority on the side of those who do wrong. And so, what am I to do? Just lift my hands up, bury my head in the sand, pretend it's not there. What am I to do as a child of God? Thank you. She says, amen. And so I thought I'd just share some thoughts. In Acts 17, as Paul was there in Athens, Paul declares that, Acts 17, 26, from one man, God made all nations. The word in the Greek is ethnos, all people groups. From one man, in other words, we're all related. Irrespective of what people think, we are all related, even more so in Christ. I got a revelation this week. I don't know, it took me a long time to get it. Even though it's so simple. I asked the Lord, why did you make me black? Here it is. He loves diversity. Yes. Can you believe that? Yes. Nobody decided, I'm going to be Chinese, I'm going to be white, I'm going to be black. God made us because he loves diversity. Yes. Amen. He could have made us all looking alike, but he's like, that's boring. I like diversity. And that struck me. It said, wow. I mean, it's simple, but yet still powerful. God loves diversity. So if we hate diversity, we're in trouble. Because this is a God thing. We are not made in some lab by some persons out there to come out like this. We are made, it says in Psalm 139, he formed us in the womb. He brought us forth. And every one of us are made in the likeness and image of our God. Right. And that's powerful. Amen. And so God is after something deliberate. It's not by accident. It's not like, oops, I didn't expect that. I think it's like, no, I need to deliberately intervene to create these different types of people. Wow. Wow. God is at work in creating different types of people, different races, different ethnic groups. Because I believe that he wants us to see his love at work. Yes. He wants the church to be a model for the world. Amen. Then they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes. Then they will know we are disciples by our love. Then they'll marvel and wonder, how can that be? And we can tell them it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, every single one of us, Christ died. He didn't say, well, you know, your group don't really need salvation. Your group is so perfect. They don't need salvation. He's like, no, every single one have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, he sent his son into the world to save every single one of us. That's a powerful thing.
Yes, it is.
Huh. God hates injustice of every sort. I don't even know where I am in the notes. But I have a scripture that I want to read. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 31. It says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. Wow. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And so what we have in our society, you know, is all sort of injustice taking place. We need to pray and support our law enforcement people. Because as they walk, they don't know which crazy person is out there who will say all sort of stuff at them. Can I tell you that no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop? Because here they are serving, laying on their lives every day when they leave home, and here's someone over there who does something crazy and puts them at risk. And so we need, you want to know what you can do? One of the things you can do is to be praying for your law enforcement personnel. They're under all sort of stress at this time, all sort of pressure. All sort of things have been said, things have been thrown at them, physically. And they are humans, you see. And so we need to pray that God gives them grace, that God gives them the patience to deal with some of the devil-inspired people that are out there, as they care about their responsibilities to serve and protect all of us. If I go out there knowing something is wrong, I'm going to call the cops. So we all need them. And you have heard me share, my brother, the brother, thank God he's with the Lord now. But from he left high school until he retired, he served as a cop, putting his life on the line. I have a cousin who just retired from being a cop also. So I understand it, a little bit of the pressures. And I thank God for these men and women. And it's unfortunate that a few bad ones make things worse for these people. But they are suffering a lot of injustice now as people take liberty with these men and women. So pray for them. Stand with them. Encourage them. You know, people have used racism as a cloak for other things in the past. It goes all the way back to Moses. It says in Numbers 12 and verse 1, it says that Moses married a Cushite woman. Numbers 12, verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to speak against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. How many know that the Cushites were dark-skinned? Just in case you didn't know that. And scholars can argue as to which wife was this. Was this Zipporah or was it another wife? It doesn't really matter. The fact is they argued against him, and this is in his own family. His older sister, the one who was there watching over his basket as a child, and his brother come against him. But with a cloak, they really were angry because they weren't getting enough opportunity out front. And they were saying, Moses, you think God speaks to you alone? And a lot of times people use things as a cloak for other things. And God would have none of it. God just said, you three, you come outside from the people. And the presence of God came down. And when the presence lifted, Miriam was leprous. Because God is like, wouldn't you, how dare you speak against Moses? It says there in Numbers 12 that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And it tells me that you can be, as in his case, the most humble person, and people will still oppose you. It's part of life. Jesus had 12 and he was still one who would betray him. So to expect 100% loyalty is unrealistic. And so the Lord was the one who was Moses' defender. There's somebody here, and this word doesn't relate necessarily to this issue, but whatever you are going through, the Lord says, I am your defender and your great reward. Somebody is going through some stuff, and the word of the Lord to you is, I am your defender, I am your shield and your great reward. You don't have to respond. You don't have to retaliate, the Lord says. I am your shield, I am your defender, and I am your great reward. And so God intervened on Moses' behalf. And we're looking on, I say, Lord, but that is so harsh. And the Lord says, if her father was to spit in her face, she'd have to spend some time outside. How dare she and her brother take a stand against the man that I've called? And that has caused me to be very careful how I speak about the people that God calls and God uses. They are not my servant. They are his. But we can see that God likes this diversity and he likes to mix things up. If you read the genealogy of Jesus, you find all sort of people in his genealogy. Ruth, who was a Moabite. Rahab, who was a prostitute from the Canaanites. Because God likes to mix things up. We are the ones who want to remain the same all the time. And God's like, no, no, no. I'm going to mix it up because I like diversity. Amen. We find Jesus in his ministry, reaching up beyond just the Jews, going to the Samaritan woman and talking to her. And she's like, sir, don't you know that you're not supposed to talk to me? Because he doesn't care. He's more concerned about her and her circumstances. The Syrophoenician woman comes to him about her child who's demonized. And he's like, you know, really, this thing is for the Jews. And she's like, Lord, even the crumb from the table. And Christ says, he has not found so much faith, not even in all Israel. Faith amongst a Gentile, amongst a Syrophoenician person. Because God is no respecter of persons, really. He's looking for people of faith. Amen. And there's so many more examples in the scriptures, but the one that stands out to me is in the book of Revelation. Because God is purposed in his mind and in his heart that he will have around his throne people from every tongue, every tribe, every kindred is going to be around the throne. In other words, he's determined to have diversity. So for those who, I know none of you here are against diversity because you wouldn't be in this church. Okay? And I know none of you here are racist because you wouldn't come. So you can relax. But for those who might watch this service, if you don't like diversity, you better not think about going to heaven. Because you're going to have diversity for the rest of your life. When we get to heaven, he's not going to like, well, you know, you were black in the other life, but you know, I'm going to make you this race. No, you're going to stay the same race. Somehow you're going to look similar. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's around the throne. He saw people from every tongue, every tribe, every kindred was around the throne, worshiping him. Amen. I'm sure you've heard the joke. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you. Of the guy who went to heaven, met Peter at the gate. And when he looked in, he saw all of these people from different races. And he was like, Peter, I'd like to go where it is just my race. And Peter's like, no, that doesn't happen up here. And the guy was like, can't you make an exception? And Peter says, yes, there is a place you can go where you have your own race in your own corner. But it's hot down there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, praise God. God is such a wonderful God. According to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. These are the things that people like to boast in. Their wisdom, their knowledge, their abilities, their strength, their might, their power, the positions that they have, and the rich, all the stuff that they can afford and the things that they can do. And the Lord is saying, don't boast in those things. Verse 24, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have an understanding to know me, that they know me and understand me. What they need to know about me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, not just in heaven, but on earth. And in these things, I delight. In other words, God loves these things. Kindness, justice, righteousness. If you want to boast about knowing God, you have to say, the God that I serve is a God who hates injustice, a God who loves to come and show mercy and kindness, a God who wants to see righteousness. So it's impossible to say you really know God and stand for injustice. It doesn't work because that's how he is. All you're doing is deluding yourself. If you really know God, then injustice will affect you. If you really know God, then you want to see mercy being extended to people. If you really know God, you want to see righteousness. In Psalms, the psalmist says that righteousness, or Proverbs, the writer says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so the same concern we have, the injustice that is meted out to the unborn child. How can you love God and say you know God and you don't have a concern for the unborn child? It's the same thing we should have when we see injustice in our society. On earth. Not just, oh, when we get to heaven, God will make it right. Yes, he will. But he's saying on earth, he delights in these things. Micah chapter 6, a scripture many of us quote, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, we cannot separate these things from experiencing the presence of God in worship. Because when you leave God's presence and you're becoming more like him, it's going to transform how you see things. We can't bury our head in the sand and say, oh, I love you, Lord. And then forget about the person who's being treated badly. Forget about the unborn child. It has to translate into how we live our lives. Help us. Proverbs 29 and verse 7 says this. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Wow. That's what the Bible says. I need for you to see it for yourself because I don't want you to think I'm making it up and, you know. That's Proverbs 29, verse 7. And these two verses are very, very key because it helps me to understand a little bit about what's happening right now. Proverbs 29, 7 and 8. If you have your, there it is. It says, the righteous, that's you and me, care about justice for the poor. But the wicked, they have no such concern. So they can be out there with a crowd, but they really have no concern about justice. They're trying to get something. They're trying to break into somebody's store, committing acts of injustice. They have no concern. So don't mix up the things. The next verse. Mockers stir up a city, but wise men turn away from anger. So it's the things being stirred up all over and all sort of things happening and people turning over police vehicles and all that sort of stuff. That's injustice. And the righteous can't take any pleasure in that. But we can't at the same time dismiss injustice where people's lives are being taken. But we have to learn what James says, that the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. God doesn't want us to respond with our human anger. Rather, he wants us to be able to bring it to him and to get his perspective. How should we as a people of God respond? I'm glad you asked. How should I respond? Proverbs 31 verse 8 says this. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. A young woman from one of our church called me in March while we were under the lockdown stuff. And she was doing a paper on racism in the U.S., and so her pastor advised her to call me to get some input. And so I spoke with her, we spoke over the phone, and I gave her some pointers, because you know, I teach a little bit about racism in some of my classes. And I didn't remember all the things I said, so with all of this going on, she came back to my mind. Because what happened is that I got calls from people overseas asking me, how are you doing? And I thought, wow, I should find out from this lady how she's doing, because she's married to an African-American. She's white, she's married to an African-American. So I called her, at least I texted her. And she reminded me of something that I said. She said, she had asked me, how should the church respond in this time? And I said to her, the church need to respond by speaking out against injustice. We cannot be silent. That's what the writer is saying. Speak up. If abortion is wrong, speak up. If taking the life of somebody because you don't like them or for whatever reason is wrong, speak up. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, help us. We can pray. Paul asks people to pray for him because he says, I'm surrounded by evil people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. That's what Paul says. He calls some people evil and wicked. And in the midst of this, then, you and I need to be praying for those who are in authority that they make the right decisions, but be praying for each other. Be praying for law enforcement. Be praying for your fellow believer. We all have different experiences and encounter, and this affects us differently. And so as a church of the living God, we need to stand with each other in prayer. And ask each other, how are you doing? And make sure you have time to listen. Because if you ask somebody how they're doing, they might be fine right now. It's like grief. If you lose a loved one, you're fine. Now, but half an hour later, you could be in tears. So make sure you have time. Paul says this in Romans 12, 15. Anybody knows that scripture? We know it, but we don't know where to find it. It says, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So, how are you going to do that unless you realize that the person is actually weeping? Because most people don't just come out and just start up. I mean, sometimes they do, but most times they don't. So you're going to have to find out what's going on. How is this affecting you? So we can pray and stand with each other. You know, somebody in law enforcement, ask them, how is this affecting you? They may be okay now, but tomorrow somebody might say something to them that hurts them. How is this affecting you? So it's not just, you know, the blacks, but it's also law enforcement, people from the other races. How is it affecting you? Man, you're so quiet. We're all in this thing together. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all going to the same place. And we're going to be together for eternity. A couple more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5. I like this scripture. Verse 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So we are called to walk in the way of love. Then verse 11, and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light become visible. And everything that is illumined becomes a light. So Paul is here saying to them, no participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. He had certain things he listed, immorality and all sort of stuff. But it also includes injustice. Don't participate in it, but rather expose it. Don't pretend it's not there, but expose it. Sister Rose, are you ready to come and share? Come on up. I asked her earlier this week, how is this thing affecting you? We can't just say, well, I don't know what to do, but there are people all around you. We're in one family. So I've asked her, and she said, I gave her a way out. I did. I said, if it's, do you have the emotional fortitude to do this? If not, please don't. And she said, no. And then to my surprise, she texts me yesterday to say that the Lord gave her something. So she's not here because I tried to get up here. I'd rather her stay there in her small corner, shine a small little light. Just like I would rather not be up here at this sharing on this. I'd rather share about the power of God and stamping over. But some things, I believe, have to be shared.
Amen. Yes.
Ms. Rose, come over this side because of the camera.
I am like Pastor Joe. I'd rather not be up here either. But I would much rather do what the Lord has called me to do. Pastor Joe posed this question to me on Friday or Wednesday after Bible study. I was boo-hooing. Sister Caroline came up as before Bible study started, and she asked me, put her arms around me and asked me how I was doing. I hadn't talked to anyone but God for a month about how I was feeling. So for about a month, I have been, had a heavy spirit of sadness prior to all of this George Floyd and all the other stuff, the lady that was killed in her bed and these other things. And I couldn't, I said, Lord, why do I feel so sad? And I couldn't shake it, you know. Just praying, just talking to the Lord, getting in the Word, which was a good thing. This pandemic has been a blessing because the Lord began to show me how much I need to draw unto, nigh unto Him. Because there will come a time that I won't see. We may not be able to gather together. Mandatory, you know, it may be a law that we can't come together and worship and encourage one another in person. What am I going to do? Because I begin to feel like I need to be in service. I don't like this, not seeing everybody. And once we were able to come back, I felt the biggest smile on my face. I looked around. I was, you just as goofy. Just a grinning, just smiling, because I was able to see everyone here. And I know God brought me here for a purpose, for more than one purpose, and that He's called me to be a part of the Pregnancy Support Center ministry, which has opened my eyes to so many things. And even though I had never had the experience of going through some of the things that the ladies go through, I realized that I had to, as a child of God and as someone that was a voice, to be a voice for the unborn, I needed to stand with this ministry. So he didn't know. I had been crying all week, like a month or so, and then all the other things started to unfold, and it just got heavier and heavier. So by accident, I saw the image of the incident with George Floyd, and something happened in my spirit. Not hate, not racism or anything like that, but I saw, Pastor Joe mentioned systemic things. There are things in all of our lives and culture and years and years and years and years of things that have happened since the beginning of time that impact us way later, generations later, that we sometimes don't realize the impact that it has. So when I saw that by accident, and you can't erase it once you see it, I saw my 5 brothers, my 7 uncles, my sons, my grandsons. The Spirit said, any one of the men you know, anyone in your life that looked like George Floyd could be on the ground. That could be any one of them. And I felt the spirit of fear try to come on me. And I was a mess. I just was a mess. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I just said, Lord, I don't want to be in this world. I don't want to be in a world like this. I don't want to see another life senselessly die, someone because of someone's race or preference or judgment or, you know. I just felt like, if you want to take me today, take me. But the Spirit said, you haven't done what I've called you to do. And so when Pastor Joe asked me after Bible study, that question he asked us all, have you asked the Lord what you're to do? I hadn't thought about that. I was just saying, why am I feeling this way? That didn't come to me. So that night, as I did my Bible study, my prayer, and just being in the Word and trying to seek the Lord about how I was feeling and what, and then I did. That was my prayer. What, Lord, what did you want me to do? So I went to bed. Holy Spirit woke me up. 4:45, 5:00. And I hadn't slept all those weeks. I just, the worst sleep ever. And so finally, that night, I felt like I slept. I think because I got it out. And prior to that, earlier that week, Sister Tammy, she told me the Lord had put me on her heart, which is why we need one another. Because we're connected by the love of God. And even though she didn't know what I was feeling, God knew. And he put me in her heart so that she could pray for me. And I didn't even tell her what all was going on. That was all before. That was Tuesday before our Bible study. So when the Lord woke me up, two things came to my, as soon as my eyes popped open, something came into my spirit. A word came in my head, which seemed totally unrelated at the moment. And it said, a bride must make herself ready. I just really was getting some good sleep, and so I'm not marrying anybody. What? I don't know what that means. And then as I lay there, too lazy to get up, because sleep was good, like I said, after lots of nights of not sleeping well, then the Spirit said, my people have a heart problem. The church has a heart problem. Not this congregation necessarily, but my people have a heart problem. I didn't know what Pastor Joe's message was going to be, but we are called to exemplify the heart of God, the love of God, the sacrifice he made to die on the cross for each and every one of us, the same. He didn't die more with more people and more races or more ethnic people in mind than he did for the other. He died the same way, that we all might become a part of his bride. And so I kept laying there, and things just kept coming to me. Get your lazy flesh up. I got up, went to the kitchen table, and the Lord just began to speak. I began to go to scriptures that were coming to me, and the scriptures were about love. They were just scripture after scripture about the example of love that Christ showed as he walked through this earth. And then the morning went on, and as I began to keep reading and praying, and the Lord began to show me how the bride tied into the church having a heart problem. Like Pastor Joe said, we've got to connect and shine the light of Christ, the love of God in this earth, because we're in a dark world. The world doesn't have it. They don't have his love. We do. We need to show them what it looks like. And it's not about a particular, I'm not angry necessarily at officers. I wasn't raised that way. That's not in my heart. It never has been. The Lord just began to just do so many things. It could go on and on, but I want to get to really what the Spirit, I feel like the Lord was wanting me to share. But he took me back to a time in my life when I first received him. I was 7 years old. I saw the work that he was doing in my mother, my grandmother, and how the Holy Spirit fell on them and how their lives changed. They've always, to me, been good women. They raised us to treat everybody the same, to respect authority. We were never taught to be disrespectful, to, talk back or, judge somebody based on what somebody else did to us. Well, I was 7 years old at the time, and all I said was, Lord, I want what they have. That's why we got to raise our children very small, because once we get God in them, once they get God in them, the Holy Spirit in them, the Word of God in them, it will carry them. It will strengthen them. It will, the Word will just grow inside of them, and things will happen that happen around us. It won't change us because the Spirit of God is in us. Well, the Lord brought me back to a time when I was in the third grade, my first day of the third grade. My first experience with people not liking me because of the skin that I'm in. My teacher. In our school in Texas, small school in Texas, we had one school. Everybody went to that school, black, white, whatever, indifferent, Mexican. Everybody in the town went to that one school. One. That's all there was. And so because of how I was brought up, it didn't bother me. It didn't affect me at all. I didn't look around to see how many was in, the class, my class, how many looked like me, how many looked like. I didn't do that. I just didn't think that way. But I believe now, and last night, during this what the Lord was giving me, he showed me that because he had come into my heart, he changed me. At a 7-year-old, he changed my heart. So that when that time came, I was able not to look at my teacher that did not want me in her class simply because she didn't like the way I looked. It didn't change me. All of my teachers were going to be white through that whole school. What was I going to do? I didn't even think about it. But Miss Perry used to have me take my desk and set it outside the classroom, and another boy, black boy, the two of us were in her classroom. She felt like we didn't deserve to be in there. I don't know what she felt, really. She just would have us sit our desk out on either side of the door of her classroom because she didn't want us in her class. We were supposed to be in the B class because, in her mind, we couldn't do the work. We weren't smart. We were whatever she thought we were. Well, word got back to his parents and my parents, and that ended pretty quick. But I still finished my third grade school year with her. But like I said, it didn't change me going to the fourth grade and having another Caucasian teacher, because that was going to be my whole life all the way through school. They all were. But my new teacher was different. My new teacher was my new teacher. I didn't say, she's going to be like Miss Perry. You know, I didn't see it that way. And I thank God, because that is the heart of God. But as he spoke to me about the bride, the Spirit said, I wrote it down, but I kind of remember. I don't want to shorten it because I know we've got some time restraints. But brides make themselves ready on the outside. We do a lot of fixing up, a lot of losing weight, a lot of dressing up, a lot of picking the right dress, a lot of, it's a lot. Spirit said, how many brides do you know that work on their past hurts? How many brides go to therapy before their wedding? We want to present on our day when we meet our groom, we want to be looking, we want to be the right size and the right dress with the right, you know, bouquet. But God is calling us for more. It's a hard thing. And overall, the Spirit is saying the church has a heart problem. My people have a heart problem. It goes deeper. And like Pastor Joe says, I know you all wouldn't be here if you had a heart problem. Because look at us. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, but you're God's people. And I'm thankful to be a part of God's people and what he's doing. And he is calling us higher. These things are happening around us so that we can come together even more as the light and the example of love in this world, because the world doesn't have it. We have it. And I don't know what I would be without you all. I find joy in coming here and seeing every face. Lord put Sister Alicia in my spirit because I said, Lord, let me just be able to, whether it scares me to death, whether it's shameful, whether I feel like a fool or whatever, she just goes with what God tells her. And just trembling, shaking, and all, I told her this morning, but the Spirit, I said, I want the boldness that Sister Alicia has. Not because she doesn't, that she feels reserved about doing what God's calling to, but because she wants to please God and with no reservations. So I declare today, and I just thank God for his word. I thank God for Pastor Joe, Sister Caroline, Sister Tammy, that the Lord spoke to them to speak to me so that I know that he has a work for me to stand with all of you and exemplify the love in the heart of God. So I just thank God for you and being a part of this congregation.
Amen. I'm going to ask Sean if he'd come on back. Again, what can we do? Ask people. How are you doing? Ask. Greg is not here today. Contact Greg, Matt. How are you guys doing? Law enforcement. We're praying for you. We're supporting you. Ask others. Anaya and others. How are you doing? How is your family? I said, make sure you have time, because you never can tell what stage you might be at. And pray one with another. Stand with each other. You might not be able to change what's happening out there, but you can change what happens here. Let's just stand. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray for all of us that God will give us grace and wisdom to show his love. Father, we thank you this morning that each of us, you made us. You took time to form us in the womb. You chose all of our features, whether we be tall or short, whether we be black, white, Asian, Native American. Lord, you chose all those features. Lord, you delighted in doing those things. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you. Each of us thank you for the way in which you have made us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you not only made us, but Lord, you drew us to yourself. You revealed Christ to us. And you brought us to be a part of your body, your bride, as we heard shared a few moments ago. And Father, each of us stand this morning before you. And we say, Lord, help us. Help us to reflect your love to the people around us. Help us, oh God, to be your voice in every situation around us where we need to speak. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Helping, oh God, those who are in need of help. Father, I pray that our actions and our words, oh God, might cause you to smile. Lord, our actions and our words, oh God, might cause you to give us more grace. And our actions and our words, oh God, might bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. As a Father this morning, as your people, oh God, together we say, thank you, God, for your love in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for leaving us here to fulfill your work. Thank you for causing us to be a part of your kingdom. And thank you, God, that you love diversity. And so, Father, we give you thanks. And now we pray that indeed, as we go through this week, that the love of Christ might be seen in us. That, Lord, we might not be a part of the those who practice injustice. We might not, Father, in any way sanction wrongdoing. But, Father, may we be there with the message of the love of Christ, the message of the gospel, that for whosoever will might come. And so, Lord, we give you praise and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, and amen.